stepping into the righteousness of the night with your head up high. Said, I'm sorry, my dear. I'm sorry, my dear. We've all lost control. We've all lost control. You're the child of light, but I've accepted the darkness. Otherwise, I'd empathize and console. Otherwise, I'd empathize and console.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Lem. Me? No, I'm your host, Angel Lem. Today I'll be visiting with Zay. She's a hip-hop artist from the city of Boyle Heights. She's very cool, very down to earth. On this episode, we're gonna hit some issues. We're gonna talk about how coming up as an artist, how you have to pay to play. We also see her perspective as a female rapper in the hip-hop world, how she has to work even harder to prove herself. But we're gonna get into it on the episode. You know, I just want to give you a little preview so you know what to expect. So it's gonna be a great episode. Thank you to everybody that slid on my DMs and told me about how great the interview with Mike Real was. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure he appreciates it too. This one almost didn't happen because my dumbass wrote the wrong day. I took a nap, I woke up, and then she asked me like, where we're meeting. I was like, wait, I thought we were supposed to be tomorrow. And I would scroll up. I was like, oh, shit. But, you know, it happened. Obviously, that's why you're here in this episode. I wish I had more time because it was a great conversation. And I want to know more about her. So actually, like, something that I didn't ask, but I found out, like, a couple hours ago, actually. I was, like, listening to her music so I could choose, like, what songs I was going to put up for this episode. And I heard a track called All Kinds Of, and on that song, listen to it, right? I think I'm gonna play it next, or maybe it's the last track, I'm not sure yet, but listen to it. And she's rapping and she's singing the hook on her own song. Like, to me, that's fucking awesome. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm easily amused. She's very hardworking. She put a lot of thought into her album Botany. So make sure you go listen to it on Spotify, get it on iTunes, get it Amazon. Like, just go get that album. You can find their tour schedule if you look up EOTR Network on Instagram. Yeah. So, and we also get into it, you know, we get into like how she got into EOTR. And also shout out to Oh That's Filthy, or Stephen J is Filthy, for like hooking it up, putting a good word for me, and telling her that I'm a good interviewer. I didn't just put my foot in my mouth, and at the end of this episode, you're like, nah, you're not a good interviewer. But whatever. Nah, that brings me to my next topic. Next week is gonna be the 50th episode, guys. And you know, you already know, I've been asking you guys on Instagram to hook me up, help me out a little bit. And send me some questions. Guys, I know I didn't have an answer on the past episodes. It's because I'm going to use them for the 50th episode. I had some weird questions. You guys want to know a lot of things, some random ass things. And, I'm going to say it. I was kind of hoping to be more about me. But, you know, if that's what you guys want to know, if you guys want to know my opinion, I'm more than happy to give it to you right there. But please send in some questions. If I do have any new listeners, please send in your questions, any questions that you want to know about me. If you enjoy this episode, which I hope you do, make sure you go to the iTunes store. Go rate the podcast 5 stars, subscribe. And I really enjoy doing this, so please help me out. Help my self-esteem out, first of all. Thank you to everybody that tells me that I'm doing a great job. I do appreciate it. For all those people that have been telling me that I improved, that I'm not as bad as I used to be. I think that's more of a backhanded compliment, but I'll take it. Any compliment, I'll take it. All right, so remember, look, you can find my Instagram, Facebook. All you got to do is look up Let Me Know Pod. Make sure it's you put L-E-M, not L-E-T, because your autocorrect will fix it. Make sure you go check it. Put that M and subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Spotify. I have stickers. All you gotta do, they're available for free. All you gotta do is send me the address where you want me to send them to. You could also pick some stickers up at Synesthesia Boutique at Jessica's Fitness Center. And I just took some to Top Shelf Taco. So make sure you go get your sticker at Top Shelf So everywhere I go, I'm gonna try to just sneak some stickers in. Alright, so I also want to remind you, I do have shirts and hats. So if you would like to buy one, make sure you go to Synesthesia Boutique. I would say go on a Tuesday because she has a BOGO. Buy one, get half off, I believe. So you don't, you can buy a hat and a shirt and the, one of them be half off. And you don't need necessarily need to buy anything from my stuff. You could get a shirt from Just Us. You could get a shirt from Risper Arte. You could get a shirt from Natis. You know, the Women's in Art Walk has a shirt. They have shot glasses. And so make sure you just go visit the shop. She's right now, I think she has a raffle going where if you buy anything from the community table, I call it the community table, she calls it the artist table. If you buy anything from there, you're entered to win a $35 gift card, get a hat, get a sticker, post it online. I'll be posting on my Instagram. Make sure you send me those pictures, guys. I like seeing where my stickers are at. I enjoy seeing that you guys are enjoying the podcast and at least that you're enjoying the design of the sticker. So make sure you send them stickers in, guys. So I just want to address something real quick before I release you into the episode. Let's give an document on DocuMedia are raising money for the victims of Guatemala. They're asking for a simple $10 donation. They're committed to seeing every penny given to the victims. All you gotta do is go to OnDocuMedia Instagram, click on the link, and they'll send you to the PayPal. You can also Venmo them. Go to PayPal and type in let's give, or go on Venmo and type let's dash the word dot dash give. Simple $10 donation, and if you can't even give 10, at least give 5. You never know when you're gonna be the one in need, and you're gonna be at the mercy of others, hoping that people are able to help you. So be the change that you want to see and help somebody else, you know. All right, guys, well, I don't want to bum you guys out. At least repost the picture on my Instagram, or let's give on DocuMedia, or you know, just so people are aware that this is going on and that we're trying to help. All right, guys, well, I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and make sure you go follow her on Instagram. Make sure you listen to her music. Enjoy.
It's like I'm stuck in a line of going forward and being left behind. Nugged to the grinder, pages ripped from the binder, images clipped out of magazines like they get a kick out of tragedy. Erratically damaging, emotions started callousing. I just wanna free my mind and smoke my green. Draw outside of the lines and live out my dreams. Hinder the potential, lost in a state of fear. The cost of pay to play is overrated to the years. You need to sit yourself down, cause my set isn't finished. No need to take a bow, don't compare me to these weak-minded bitches. All my life I've been told what to do, what to wear, how to think, what defines license truth. The only time I'm free is when I'm lost in a booth. You couldn't find this knowledge in a passage or a book. You couldn't find this emotion in a 7-second hook. Take a second look, cause you can't fight against the youth. With my fist in the air and my feet on the ground, it's a gift I declare, but you can't meet the sound. A curse to be destructive, curse of writing with a pen, the meaning isn't certain. Searching for a constant, trying to find a balance. You wanted honesty, cause you said I had no talent. Searching for a constant, trying to find a balance. You wanted honesty, cause you said I had no talent. See, I've been wasting too much time worrying about what you think. I'm like a cyst in your rib, I'll explode in your spine and let you drain down the sink. There's a fine line between being misunderstood and being undefined. I let that wind chime, let the signs align in the sky. How could I deny? I let my soul fly, another street sign with no direction in sight despite my lack of ethics. Slowly crossing off all the boxes on my checklist. Gender never mattered cause you insecure rappers need to stop being sexist. Could you focus on a stage with the crowd staring at your breasts and your hips? I'm such a happy soul, you could never tell I used to slip my wrist. The bandage left me hanging on the cliff of achievement. Never a secret, never needed special treatment. I am all four seasons, just needed to repeat the sequence. You can keep your politics and thought out agreements. A fight against my demons, it always happens for a reason. Cause I'm searching for a constant, trying to find a balance. You wanted honesty, cause you said I had no talent. Just searching for a constant, trying to find a balance. You wanted honesty, you said I had no talent. Searching for a constant.
searching for a constant, trying to find a balance, searching for a constant.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. You just heard a song by my next guest, Zay.
Hey.
What's up? How are you?
I'm good, man. What's up? This is Zay. Shout out to Let Me Know Podcast. I'm good. I'm a little high.
Yeah, I know. It's cool. So, you know, I like to start every episode by asking, like, how your day is.
My day's pretty cool. I work at a dispensary, or I volunteer at a dispensary, and it's 14-hour shifts. And it's pretty draining, and sometimes I work back to back, so it's nice to have a day off. But even on my days off, it's not anything like that. Like, we got up, cleaned, made food, and then
for the dispensary or for yourself?
No, for myself. Today was my day off.
Oh, okay.
And then came out to LA. I'm gonna do this podcast, and then I have a photo shoot, and then I have a meeting, and then I'm headlining a show tonight.
Damn, you're busy.
Yeah. So even though it's my day off, I'm like,
yeah. I mean,
heavily working.
You have to be able to do what you. I mean, to get there where you want to be, you have to hustle and hustle.
I don't mind it. I mean, even my man will tell you, like, it's very hard for me to just kick back and sit down, like. It's really hard to. On other podcasts, I've talked about it because that's what was going on at that time. But I kind of had a unemployment stint for a couple months, and it was like the most annoying thing in the world. So now that I'm working, I'd rather be working, you know, than not.
Like, you had too much time on your hands and you didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, like I couldn't. I felt like I even with that all that time, I couldn't even write. Like, yeah. I felt like so like. Just held back and in a constant state of like, what do I do? What's my next move? What should I do next? And but now that I kind of have like a sense of a, you know, steady flow of income and just aligning these shows for the tour this summer, man, and it's gonna be a really busy summer. So yeah, it's been a good day. It's just literally getting started. This is like my first thing on the checklist. So
like is today like the day that your tour, like the first day?
We start tomorrow at GCS in Santa Ana, and then we'll be going to Vegas. We'll be going up north. We'll be going to the Bay. We'll be going to San Diego. We'll be going to pretty much covering all aspects of Cali.
Okay.
And then we're probably gonna hit like some other states within the area.
Yeah. So like something that interests me is your name, Zay.
Zay.
Like where's that from?
Zay is Yaz backwards.
Oh.
My nickname is Yaz. Y-A-Z-Z. Oh, okay. My name is Yasmin. and I don't know. When I first started doing any kind of music, I mean, my nickname has been Yaz and Yazzy since I was like fucking like 5 years old.
Yeah.
And then when I started doing music, I was just Yaz, but that was also the name of like a birth control pill that was killing women. I didn't want to be associated with that. When Googled Yaz, like, that's one of the things that would come up. And then this band from the 80s, and then yeah, that's it. So I flipped it to Zay. Uh-huh. With the two Z's, because my nickname had two Z's, so I was like, fuck it, why not. And even with Zay, it gets really confusing. And I don't know if my name will always be Zay. I've kind of been on the fence of changing it to just something not so simple, because it's kind of confusing. And that I've actually been told by editors that when you Google my name, it like a bunch of random crazy shit pops up.
Really?
And, you know, I'd rather just have something that's so unique that, you know, you're never going to hear about it. But nothing like too unique where it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I know your EP, your album is Botany, right?
Mm-hmm, Botany.
So I think Botany would be a cool name.
Botany is pretty sick. That would be actually a pretty hard ass name. I'm also trying to make sure that like what I have is not too specific, because I don't want to box myself in with like, you know, what I'm supposed to talk about or anything like that. I'd like for it to still be ambiguous. I'm trying to learn how to DJ and things like that, so I might pick up a DJ name too by all next right. year, by 2019. But Zay, I was like Lady Floette and like Lady Lion for a really long time when I first started doing music, and I was just like, yeah, this isn't gonna work. I need something else. People call me Zay, Zazzy, like just it's it's just kind of a hard name for people to understand. But once they hear it, they get it. And yeah. then once people understand what it is, they're like, oh, that makes sense. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think, like, it's a perfect name because I know you also battle rap. So, like, so I'm like, jazz, you
know? I've battle rapped a couple times.
Yeah. I'm gonna ask you about that because fuck, like you scarred me. The one I saw hurt my soul. I was like, you got it. Like, okay, I understand you want to hurt her, but you don't got to kill her.
Fuck. No, that's actually like what I was told. I asked people, like, what should I do? Like, it was like one of the most crazy experiences because you literally have to do dirt and like research yeah. on the person. And luckily, like, funny enough, like, she actually knew, like, a couple of my homegirls, and a couple of my homegirls knew her, and I was like, oop, well, I'm just gonna scroll and just see what's going on. I'm a scroll and troll.
Yeah.
And,
But, like, did she really go on Facebook and, like...
Yeah, she went on Facebook and, like, tagged me in a bunch of weird photos and, like...
So, like, it starts before the actual event, like, trying to get
usually,
in your mind?
Usually, I mean, I guess nowadays it does. Like, back in the day when people battled, none of that shit went down. But nowadays, because we had the internet and social media, like, I Evolve put it on. The homie Epic put it on. Shout out to Epic. He put that on and then had fucking polls on our group and, like, who's gonna take this battle? And, like, people, like, would vote, and nobody voted for me. Nobody knew who the fuck I was. Yeah. I was, like, barely starting out my music career right there.
How long ago did you battle? Let me see. Who did you battle?
I battled Harley Q. I battled yeah. her in, like, 2013. Right. So it's been a couple of years, but even that's when I was just first getting started. And, like, I was actually – my mom dropped me off at that event. like, it was pretty gnarly. I had no new clothes. Like, I was, like – broke. I didn't know like how I was even gonna get back, like, but I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna smash this shit and win this shit, and yeah, someone's yeah. gonna be like, you need to ride home. Yeah. So fuck it, why not. It's just like awkward, uh-huh. you know, I walk in and yeah. like I see her and I'm just like, oh shit, like this is about like,
am
to
I supposed to fight her?
No, like- yeah, I there's always like this stigma with female rappers and like battles that involve women that there's gonna be a cat yeah, fight yeah. because sometimes there is
uh-huh.
you know, like, unfortunately, to bring that back, but you know, like Reverie and Germ Free or like Lady Divine, Looney Divine, and some other chick like fought, and you know, it's I can understand though, because even though like I'm not that kind of person to like just go in on someone like that, like roast someone,
yeah,
it felt kind of nice, you know.
What made you want to do it though?
Just to say I did it, right. And like I know that like. I was really nervous, but I was like, there's no fucking way I'm gonna go home and be a loser.
Yeah.
There's no way. It's either me or me. Like, there's no fucking way in the world that I'm gonna let this girl outshine me or beat me. And, like, I was even, like, practicing freestyles because I couldn't freestyle. Like, right. that's just not something that I was strong. Even now, I have to really be in the mood to do it. If not, it's just gonna yeah, be yeah. shit.
Have you done any, like, after?
No,
like,
I no? haven't. I've been asked by so many people, and I've actually was asked by Valorio, which is like a Spanish battle group, to battle in Spanish, but I don't know Spanish fluently.
Okay.
So I'm really not trying to be battling someone and yeah. kind of like decipher what they're saying, like, in my head.
Go on Google Translate.
Yeah. yeah, like just take context of what they're saying. Nah. But it was really scary. And then she like started fucking up her lines, and then once she started yeah. fucking up her lines, I was like, all right, cool, I got this shit.
Yeah, I saw that too, like at the,
because she was scared.
Yeah, at the very last battle thing, I don't know what it's called,
the round,
the last round, she like, when her time was up, like, you know, she fucked up there.
Yeah, it was actually really funny though, because I didn't even understand why there was so much animosity coming from her online. I was like, girl, this is a battle, it's not even that big of a fucking deal.
Yeah.
But and then all that happened, and then to finally have all that shit go down and then you just kind of choke, it was just fun, the best thing that could have happened. And then afterwards I got a lot of respect from it.
Yeah,
I got a lot of respect from like older heads and the IE, and like a lot of bigger people were there from the IE. Valorio was there, and Yol Mascaras, and like a bunch of dope Mexican battle groups who are thriving in Mexico, you know, mm-hmm. were there to see it. And I got asked to do several battles after, and I was gonna battle another one of my homegirls, but I couldn't do it. I was like, I don't want to battle my homegirl. Like, yeah. I'd rather uplift my homegirl and say nice things and And then she was even like, come on, like, we don't have to say anything bad to each other. And I'm like, no, girl, because if I go up there, I'm going to talk mad shit to you and kill you like how I did this chick. And I'm not trying to do that. Like, I'm just not. Like, trust me.
I had that, like, one of my homies, like, he does comedy too.
Okay.
He's like, yeah, come on, let's just roast each other. I was like, nah, I'm too sensitive for that. Like, I'll take it personally.
You're like, you really feel like that?
Yeah.
Really?
Nah, after everything I've done for you, like, all right, cool. Next time you're right to the airport, don't call me. Right. You're dead to me. How long have you been rapping?
2018. I'd say, like, fully since, like, 2011. About 6 years now.
All
right. I was on some, like, Humpty Dumpty raps when I first started, you know, I'm not gonna lie. I've always been a really good poet. I've written really good poetry, like, all throughout my life. And I've always sang. I've been singing since I was way young.
And, like, what made you want to get into, like, that hip-hop world?
It just called out to me. My parents are really young, and my dad was a DJ, and he always put me on to dope music all the time. And even growing up, I was like, damn, I want to be a DJ one day. Like, because as a kid, as a teenager and as a kid, I was always on the hunt for sick music. Like, music that I just felt like nobody knew about. Like, I remember talking to my fourth grade teacher about Slave and Keith Sweat, and she was like, how do you know about this? Like, this is crazy. Like, and I don't know, I just, music has always been around me. It's something that I've always felt at home with. And like, because I didn't pass, like, Algebra 2 till, like, my senior year. And I didn't pass chemistry till my senior year. But, like, when it came to my English classes, when it came to my visual and vocal performing arts classes, even my history classes, I always, like, outshined in them. It's just the beginning, but it's fun. I love music. I'd rather be doing this than anything else, honestly.
Has it always become natural, like, performing in front of people, or did you ever have a hard time, like, growing up?
Yeah, you know, when I first started, because when I did speech class in high school, it was no problem. No problem at all. I'd just be like, fuck it, you know, like, if I got, either I got this down and I'm gonna kill this speech or debate, or I'm just gonna have to wing it and just pull shit out of my ass. And sometimes both would happen, but either way, like, both would be dope. So that's when it, like, kind of first started, being able to go on stage in high school, landing solos in high school, singing in talent shows and things like that. And then when I got out of high school and actually did my first rap show, it was with Soul Providers in Southgate. And that was, like, one of the main nights I had really hung out with Muds and Vile from Soul Providers, who's in East of the River now. I was so nervous. I was so nervous, and it was a Nuja B's beat, and I didn't even remember half of my lyrics after a while, and I just freestyled it. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't even know how to freestyle. Like, what am I doing? And I was super nervous, but then I got, even though I felt like I had fucked up, I've always been good, like, at not showing that I fucked up. Right. You know? Like, I've never, ever once in my life been like, oh, sorry, y'all, I fucked up. Let me run that back.
Yeah, yeah.
Halfway through a song. That's just never been the business. Yeah, you know? Yeah. I think it started when I did the show for Blue. I opened up for Blue and Exile. That show was what set me off. I think once I hit that stage, that was the one where people actually, like, felt me. And I felt like people would act, because I always got props at shows. I always got, like, oh, what's up, you're dope. Like, especially because I was new. I feel like when you're a new artist and you're just starting out and you hit, like, a hip-hop scene and you kill your set, like, people come at you, like, so fast. So I made a buzz in the IE super fast because of it. I did the show in Pasadena, but then I went right back to the IE and started doing shows back to back to back to back. And then I started this thing called the Weekend Warrior Tour, because I think for like 6 months, every single weekend I had a show. It was like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow. So tell me about your EP, right? It's the EP?
It's an album.
Okay, the album, mm-hmm. Your Botany. So, like, tell me a little bit about it, because I was listening to it on my way over here. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of questions. Like, first of all, you used, what's that movie with Jim Carrey?
Like, The Truman Show.
Yeah, The Truman, like, I didn't understand. Like, it was bad. Like, alone in bed or something?
Empty bed.
Empty bed. There we go. Like, why? Well, I didn't understand why I used that.
That's crazy. Because it's funny, people's interpretations of the interludes, because I just had an interview with somebody and they loved, like, they totally kind of understood why, and but they still asked why. But like, it's just cool to see people's different interpretations of each one. So Empty Bed is obviously like one of the sadder songs on the album. If you really think about the lyrics, it's a lot of I think just the image of an empty bed is kind of cold and kind of brash. And you know, have you seen The Truman Show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Okay. Though. But, well, in that movie, he's pretty much married to someone. And right before that scene, he's looking, flipping through their wedding photos. And he sees, like, a picture of them at the altar, pretty much saying their I do's. And she has her fingers crossed. Oh. Pretty much like, we're not actually married. You know, I'm pretty much, like, crossing this holy, you know, sacrament with you. It's not actually real, because his life is a TV show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he has no idea. So pretty much, I just wanted to show the relation of, like, you don't, like, the relation is pretty much seeing how much things can change in a single moment. Yeah, like, yeah. That's when he kind of realizes, like, oh shit, like, I'm not married to someone who actually wants to be with me. I need to change my life. I don't know if you hear in the song, like, he kind of asks her, yeah, like, you know, what does any of this mean?
Yeah. Well, she goes through on a commercial about some cocoa. Yeah,
she turns into a, like, a robot, yeah, and, like, kind of starts, like, doing an ad for something. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. You know, like, what's wrong with you? So, I felt like I was Jim Carrey at one point in my life in that movie.
All right.
But thankfully, I was able to get out of that. I think that's one of the things with my album too, is I need to, like, my next album is, I'm probably not gonna put interludes that, like, it all made sense to me when I did it. Like, I think it's a good learning lesson for my next album, because then I have to think more of, like, what the listener thinks, you know.
Yeah.
So it'll be a good learning lesson.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting, but I was kind of lost. Like, wait, did I miss something, like, on the last song? Like,
no, yeah.
Honestly, I thought you were trying to, like, go after, like, Jay-Z and Kanye West, because you know how they did the Blaze of Glory?
Yeah.
I was like, man, is she trying to go after them? Like, man, I feel like I'm going to choose a better comedy or something.
I think for the next one, there's definitely going to be a little more of a tight-knit content. Right, well, mashup, you know.
Tell me what inspired, like, the album.
Botany was inspired by, like, all the trials and tribulations of, like, 2012 to 2016-17.
Okay.
So much shit went on in my life, and I think those are the years that, like, those things happened so that the rest of my 20s can just me be in full-on grind mode and not have to worry about the other distractions that were going on. Like, I had moved around so much. I was in, you know, a couple of, like, pretty shitty relationships and, like, shitty jobs and, like, just working to work and not even, like, investing myself and bouncing around from, like, spot to spot and, like, not being able to consistently create and make music, which is why Botany took so long. Botany took forever because I just could never create a finite idea, hence why there's still so many different alleys and different avenues within the album.
Yeah.
But it was inspired by a lot of bullshit going on in my life, and I was living with my mom, and then living with my dad, and then living with my mom, and then moving in with someone, and then leaving that, and, like, it was just so much bullshit going on. And now that I feel like I'm at a point in my life where, like, I'm with someone who's solid, my job is going well, I love what I'm doing with my music, and not even just within my music, but within the music world, hosting, doing radio shows, you know, working with dope-ass other females, things like that. Now that I see, like, a better future with my direction and my music and with my music career and what I'm trying to do with my path, it only allows room for, like, grinding. Like, so with Botany, it was about room for growth, and now it's about, like, room for work and grinding and, You know, like, now that my garden's blossomed, like, I gotta make sure I, like, de-weed all the shit I can't have and pick all the flowers that are blooming nice and, you know, upkeep the garden. You know, that's what the next album and next couple of projects are gonna be. Botany was just the growing process, like, from the seed to the stem and it budding, and, you know, it was just a small blossom. But now there's, like, an entire garden of things, and just gotta work on that.
I mean, it's a good metaphor. Like, mm-hmm. It's how we are in life, how we start from a seed. You know, I like it. You just mentioned, like, you work with, like, you do a radio show, but you do it with East of the River, right? So, how did you guys come together?
Well, East of the River started by Mr. Mezcal, maybe, like, 2008, 2009. That's been his baby for forever. I met him and Max and Killatech first. Then I met Hollow. Then I met Kiddo. So, we all just kind of formulated... When was it? We gave ourselves, like, a solid, finite, like, concrete, this is EOTR, right before Pay Due. But I had pretty much been in the East of the River for about a full year now, almost 2 years.
Alright.
Yeah.
Like, did you come up with the name, or was it already made?
Mezcal came up.
Like, do you know where it comes from?
We're pretty much east of Los Angeles River.
Okay.
So that's how the name derives. Simple. Yeah. So pretty much, like, we're all kind of from East LA, Echo Park, El Sereno, Boyle Heights, Southgate, Commerce, Monterey Park, like Whittier, Southeast Whittier, like. That's pretty much the vicinity of where we all derive from. Norwalk. That's pretty much where we all...
And, like, you also do a radio show, right?
Yep. It's actually, like, 4 businesses down.
So, like, well, can you tell me a little bit about that radio show? Like, what kind of music you play?
Yeah. So, pretty much, I try to broadcast and showcase a lot of local talent. I try and promote it in the sense where, like, people can send in their music. Obviously, it has to be good. Mm-hmm. I think people just think that because they send in stuff that I'm just going to play anything. And I'm super picky with the music I play. Like, I'm just picky with music in general. Like, you should see how it is trying to get me to get on a beat. Like, because I'm so picky about what beats I use. That's the one thing that I will take away from Botany, is that the beat selection is on par.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the beat selection for that album. There isn't a beat that doesn't, like, make you, like, want to bob your head. I feel like I just look for quality mixing, mastering, sound, content, doing research on the artists. And I've been wanting to also incorporate people within East LA, people within Southeast, people within this area. We play a lot of homies from, like, Minnesota, from New York, from, you know, from, we have a homie from Italy whose stuff we play.
Wow.
But, you know, I ultimately like to get people in the community involved, because right after we do that, Fridays on First actually happens in front, right here.
Uh-huh. Okay. So... So, how long have you been doing that one, that radio show? And, like, when is it? Like, is it weekly?
It's every Friday.
Okay.
1 to 3 p.m. on radioespacio.org. And I've been doing it for almost a year.
Yeah?
Yeah, and it's awesome. I've pretty much learned how to work the soundboard. I'm the engineer for the show when I'm there. I'm the DJ.
Yeah.
I'm doing a bunch of things, and it's actually really nice now, because I can put that on my resume.
Yeah.
And I pretty much fandangled it, and Mezcal taught me that shit in 5 minutes. He was like, okay, you gotta do this. All right, I gotta go take care of it. And luckily my man, like, knows, like, audio engineering and things like that, so I was just like, help me, I don't know what the fuck to do. And there are certain things, like, it's hooked up through Redcast, I believe, so having to make sure that those monitors are leveled, and then the monitors for the sound is leveled, and then making sure that, like, even having a tester to hear the radio show and what it sounds like. It's all about perfection, but it's getting there. And then once you do it, it's like riding a bike. You'll never forget it. Because I had a little, not a hiatus, but I kind of stopped doing the show because I just couldn't. I was working and stuff like that. So Mezcal took over, and then recently I needed to come back and do it, and I was like, shit.
Oh, you forgot.
How do I do this? But then immediately I was like, oh yeah, duh, like it comes back second nature.
All right. Mm-hmm. So, like, who are some of your influences, like, lyrically or, like, music, whatever, in whatever way?
I really love Amy Winehouse. I really love, like, Alina Baraz. SZA is one of my favorites. Erykah Badu, Etta James, Jill Scott. You know, like, Belle the Wonder, Reverie. Kiddo is a huge influence, too. She's, you know, being in a group with somebody that dope, like, all it does is, like, inspire you, you know, because you're like, fuck, I can't be writing no weak shit, you know, like, I don't want to be the girl that sucks in East of the River, you know,
yeah.
So it just kind of, it influences me to really, like, just keep myself, like, challenged with what I write, because I feel like your bars become whack when you just become complacent with what you write, and I think that's why, like, it's so hard for me to write songs sometimes, because I'm just like, I don't like this, like, it needs to be perfect, it needs to be the best that it can be. But yeah, as far as influences, like, I love, like, I fuck with Stone's Throw, Heavy, Mellow Orange, Selection, and I've been a hip-hop boom bap head since I was like a little baby. I grew up on golden era hip-hop and grew up in funk, disco, dance music, influenced by Selena. That's a lot of dope bands. I even had my little Paramore phase in high school. So, you know, it's a lot of music. And my parents are a huge musical influence because they're so young. And they bumped, like, everything from, like, oldies to, like, Flashdance for me. Mm. So it was, I had a nice little upbringing because we had mad vinyl. My dad had turntables. And
So you never, like, wanted to pick it up? Like,
I did. My dad actually stole his Techniques and all of his records to buy a new camera. Now he's a photographer. He's a published photographer now.
Oh, cool.
So he, you know, did it with something smart, you know, in his head and wanting to have a... He just wasn't doing anything with music anymore. Okay. He had DJed all of his, like, high school and adult life. And then once he got to his 30s, he was like, I kind of want to do something else with my time now. And I was like, but I could have these and you can just get a camera and I could just keep these and keep them safe for our family.
Because you could tell, like, I could pass them down to my children.
You want your grandchildren to be little DJs? Like, come on now. But I mean, it's gonna happen either way. Like, I've always been around DJs. I've always had the ear, you know, and I think, like, it's always kind of been second nature to want to expand with doing things within music.
Yeah.
So, but I heavily want to just get into DJing too and being able to, like, DJ, like, the homie sets or, like, when Drastic just wants to do sound and engineering, like, I could just cut back there. Like, I really want to expand with that and run with that, and I could do it. Like, that's just another challenge.
Yeah. So, but we're going to see doing that next year, right? Hopefully.
Yeah. That's what I want to have, like, pretty much accomplished. Like, I want to be out in Europe next year.
Okay.
Even within this year, the end of this year, I really want to, you know, make my trip out to Europe and Mexico, Canada, just get out of the U.S. And honestly, like, even going out of L.A., like, the crowd reaction from people outside of LA, I feel like, is more genuine. Not even in the sense where I'm like, fuck LA, I hate home. Like, nah, this is the pinnacle and the boiling pot of dope artists.
Yeah.
There's just too many of us. I'll play a big venue, like, and open up for Felipe Esparza at the Novo, but I'll also come hit an open mic, you know, in a small little barrio and, like, just do it, like, because there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, it's good to put your stuff out there, like, you never know who's listening. Somebody like up in there, like, he just happened to go get coffee or something, and that show you did for Felipe, was that, like, the biggest show you've ever done?
That one, and then the Murs show before that.
The Murray?
Yeah, Murs.
Oh, Murs. Okay. Yeah,
so I did. It's funny because, like, when those shows came around, it was like, this is the biggest show I'm gonna do of my life. And the next week, it was like, this is the biggest show I'm gonna do of my life.
So where was that one, the Felipe one?
The Felipe Esparza show was at the Novo in downtown LA.
Uh-huh.
Shout out to Felipe. What's up, fool?
Yeah, he don't listen to this. I try having him on, but
I'll talk to him. I'll be like, hey, yeah, he's dope. Yeah, he's dope. But yeah, Felipe's sick. He's a really cool dude. He's just really busy.
Yeah. I know.
Super. I think he's like coming back to LA for a little bit and then going to like San Antonio and then he's going to like Hawaii, so that's the level I'm trying to be on, but he's dope. super funny, dude. I swear, I haven't laughed like that in so long. Like, yeah. I was fucking dying with everything. And then he got, like, he made sure that we were fed, you know, made sure we were comfortable.
Yeah.
Made sure that, you know, we were high. Like, and I don't, it was just crazy having a fucking big ass, like, backstage, you know, being able to, we had our own bathroom in there. Like, just people, like, waiting on us, you know, yeah. like, it's just so crazy to, like, be able to experience that. And then the week before was the merch show, and then like similar thing, like just being there, like having our doing sound check, you know, with engineers who are top notch and know everything that they're doing, mm-hmm. never having to worrying about a mic peaking or feedback, or you step the wrong way and the fucking mics go off, you know, like it was just crazy. Like just feeling like damn, like it's just a huge set of accomplishments, you know.
So was it just you performing? Or?
No, it was all East of the River.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And how did it come together? Like, it's just like heard you guys.
Mezcal's uncle knows Felipe.
All right, so that the comedian.
They, they all grew up in the same projects.
Oh, all right.
Yes, because Felipe's from here. He's from Boyle Heights. So they all grew up in the same projects. They like worked together and did things like that. And on What's Up, Fool. Felipe talks about how Mezcal's dad hired him and then like fired him a week later. And then somehow, some way, they got in touch with our manager, and our manager hit up Mezcal, and then they went on What's Up, Fool. And I was so mad when he did it, but Muds had given Felipe one of my CDs, and I was like, Fool, what's wrong with you? Like, the fuck you giving away my CD for? Like, now I gotta give you another one. Like, it was just something stupid, but I'm so glad he did, because he like posted about it and like loved the album. And when I did a meet and greet, or when he did a meet and greet right here at Primera Taza across the street, rest in peace, Primera Taza, shut that down. Fuck gentrification. but at Primera Taza in the back, he did a meet and greet, and I was walking up to him and I wanted to give him a poster, and he was like, he already knew who I was. He was like, Zay. And like, he was telling everybody, like, this is one of the dopest artists out in Boyle Heights. Like, she's the queen of Boyle Heights. And I was like, oh shit.
Dang,
like,
that's tight.
Yeah, I was like, holy shit. Like, this is crazy. So then when we did the show, like, it was just so fucking intense. Like, we get there, and his wife is super awesome. Shout out to Lisa. She's amazing too. And his whole team, you know, his whole team are it's pretty much all other comedians that he's helped put on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I fuck with that heavy. You know, like, I feel like one thing that I've noticed is that, like, successful teams or successful artists are successful because they have a solid team behind them. And, you know, and there are other people who work, too, and do work. And, like, it was dope because the comedians who went on with before him and opened up for him were also holding down like the merch booth and stuff like that. It was just, it was nice. It was very tightly knit. He was super sweet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've heard a lot of great stories about him, and Russell Peters too. Like
Russell Peters, man, that fool was so funny. He was like, I'm gonna tell you something. Okay. I'm gonna tell you something right now. I love hip hop. I was a DJ.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you right now, the guys were dope. But you and the other girl are the two baddest bitches I've ever seen in my entire life. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, this is so awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I usually don't think being called a bad bitch is, like, too much of a compliment. But, like, coming from Russell Peters, I was like, hell yeah, I'm a bad bitch. No, but, yeah, he's super funny and super cool vibes. You know, we got to smoke with freaking, what's that comedian's name?
Martin, no. I don't know.
He's a Puerto Rican.
Puerto Rican.
He talks like this.
I don't know. He has something, a lisp?
Luis Guzman.
Oh, okay.
We smoked with that fool.
Yeah?
I was like, what the fuck? He gave us gummy bears, and like, I got so medicated that day. It was crazy. But yeah, like, we met him, his daughter. We met like so many dope people that night. I was like, Russell Peters, I just saw you on a Netflix special. Yeah. Like, what the hell?
And right now he's in a show with like a kids show.
Yeah. Yeah, he was talking about that with us. That shit's awesome.
Yeah.
He's super fun people, and I think like being in those situations are so surreal, because because we all went to our, like, you know, our dressing room after, and we partied, and even partying with these people, I'm just like, what the fuck? Like,
it's another level.
Like a couple years ago, I was sleeping on my mom's floor, like, yeah, with no job and, like, no motivation, and just, like, trying to, like, scrape money together to go buy weed or, like, okay, kick it. Like, it's just so crazy to see how, like, your life can change in a couple years, you know? And it's nowhere near over. Like, Felipe fucked with us so hard, and we've met so much. Shout out to everybody that we met at that show, because I had so many people buy CDs. Somebody shot me, like, $100 for a CD. Like, the support from so many people, because everybody was from East LA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So as soon as we started talking about East LA, everybody was like, oh shit, like,
yeah, I can relate.
From our home, and that's East LA sirens for y'all. That's real. This is not plugged in.
It's not part of the song that you listen to in the background.
Right. Yeah, man, it was just gnarly. I just couldn't believe everything that was happening. And it was at a time in my life where, like, I literally had no money. That show was a huge blessing. That was the most I've ever been paid for a show.
Dang.
And it wasn't even on some, like, sell this many tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how it should be. People shouldn't be spending $100 to open up for somebody who's not even a headliner, you know? I can understand if you're opening up for Chino... Not even Chino XL. Like, I won't pay $100 for tickets to open up for Chino XL. Or fucking Keith Murray. Or fucking Rascass. Or, like, no respect. No disrespect at all. That's not even that. I feel like my value as an artist is worth more than me having to pay for tickets people to come see me. Like, I will never do that shit again. I did it twice, and it was for MERS and Blue. And 3 years down the line, I'm working a MERS show and he's paying us. Like, it's achievable. And maybe when you're starting out, find two or three cool ass shows that you can pay for. Don't fucking pay $50 for 10 tickets, not sell any of them. Just pretty much pay $50 out of your pocket and open up for fucking some whack local fool. Like, or some de facto, like Mezcal says, some de facto legend who's passed his days. Like, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna pay to open up for Sugar Free. Like, they're dope. They're dope as fuck. I listen to them. I bump them. They're on my 90s throwback playlists, you know? But I'm not gonna ever, that's not an investment to me.
Yeah.
I'd rather buy shirts for merch or new CDs or pay for a new design or go work in a big ass studio.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, you give me a shot, give me an extra shot. Don't make me pay for, like, the fucking shot you're supposed to give me.
And then be like, we do this for the culture. Yeah. Like, no, you do this shit for the money. There are promoters putting together an act of 10, 15 people charging each artist $50. Like, think about how much money is being made.
Yeah.
And then you're not even redistributing it back to the artist who paid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're giving it to one okay artist, as opposed to just, like, people just walking and you putting... It's backwards. You should be pulling money out of your pocket to invest in people.
Yeah.
Coming out to a show ain't free. It's an investment. You gotta pay for gas. You gotta pay for food. You gotta pay for your makeup. You gotta pay for tea for your throat. You have to smoke so you can relax. You gotta buy a beer so you can chill. A new outfit. Get your hair done. Nail, whatever it is. That shit costs money. And if you're doing that shit, you're at the wrong spot. Come hit up east of the river and we'll put you on for free. We'll pay you.
All right. At least buy them a sandwich. I think they'll be happy with the
gas
sandwich.
And food. Do you know how far that goes?
Yeah, it goes very far.
A long way for artists.
Yeah, yeah.
If artists are pouring their heart and soul and every last dime into their artistry, giving them $30 for gas and money for food, what's like heaven on earth to them?
I'm pretty sure you've been asked this question. You might be like, pretty much tired of answering it, but like, I don't know. So I'm gonna ask you anyways. Mm-hmm. So like, have you encountered any difficulties being, like, a female rapper? Like you feel like you got to work even that much harder, or, like, that you got more obstacles on your way?
I do, but I also don't, because I feel like I'm such a strong-ass woman now that, like, nobody can kind of fuck with me. Before, I was very timid and very, like, naive, honestly. Like, people aren't going to fuck with me. People aren't going to do this. But in reality, it's like, no. There are a lot of people who just, whether you're a man or a woman, they don't want to see you doing better than them.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to deal with misogynist ass mindsets. I've had to be interviewed by people who I don't fuck with because I know that deep down they don't fuck with the fact that I'm a woman and I'm doing better than them. The fact that I'm a woman is just a dope ass quality to myself. I've had to be independent for so long, like within my own life, that like being an independent artist is hard, but at the same time it's just like fuck it, it's just something I have to do. And whether like facing adversity is gonna happen no matter what gender you are. But yeah, sometimes there are people who try and downplay what I do or make me seem like I'm not working as hard or I'm not doing something as dope as they say. But it's like, nah, like I'm really busting my ass for myself and for my team and for LA. Like I'm like, you can't say that I'm not like one of the dopest, like a dope artist from LA. But I have dealt with like stupid ass people who just like fuck with me or like say like really nasty, like crude things about me because I'm, you know, I'm a woman. I have physical differences than a male, you know, like being catcalled and like being stared at. But that's just something that I will always deal with as a woman. It's not even that I'm a female artist, it's just that unfortunately I'm a woman, and that's just something that I deal with in life in general. As a Mexican woman, as a woman who's multicultured, I'm like, I'm gonna do everything for myself anyways, but at the same time, like, I'm gonna kill it too. And people don't have to put a cap on me, like, because, oh, because I'm a female, this is happening, because I'm a woman. Like, no, if anything, like, I get really bad stereotypes that, like, things are easier for me, or I get special treatment. Like, I'm not, like, a size 4 and, like, 110 pounds or 5'2". I'm not this little itty-bitty thing. I'm not, like...
Like the people you see in magazines.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know, yeah. I'm not like super, super model gorgeous. Like, I don't get special treatment. Like, I still gotta pay for things. I still gotta like work my way into things. I still have to talk to people on a professional level. I have to set up business meetings. I have to make sure like my merch is in line, my tour stuff is in line, talk with my manager and see what's going on with that. And I also think that nowadays there are a lot more men who are in tune with their feminine energy, and they are a little more in tune with being empathetic to the opposite sex and understanding that we have, that there's definitely a gap, yeah. You know, and I think, but a lot more men understand that now. So I think a lot, because of that, women are getting a lot of the treatment that they're supposed to deserve, that they're supposed to receive, at least in LA. Now in the South and the East Coast, it might not be like that. You know, but in LA, like, I feel like a lot of female artists are getting the shine that they need. You know, like, look at Reverie. She's fucking killing it. And look at Vel. Like, they're killing it. Yeah. And they're going on tours, and Gavlin's killing it. Oblimey's killing it. Like, Kiddo's killing it. Maya Huyana, you know, Rudy Ibarra. Killing it. They're just doing it. Ain't nobody trying to see you doing better than them.
True.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, you know what? Two more questions and we're going to play the game.
For sure.
So the first one is a one-parter, and then the second one's a two-parter. So, like, any advice that you could give anybody listening that want to, like, any, like, women or young, like, people in high school, elementary that want to, like, that for some reason, like, stumbled onto this podcast that wants to go into the, like, hip-hop world, like, what can you tell them?
Trust your intuition when it comes with your investment, because sometimes investments are, you know, the things that like make or break what happened in your artistry. Like, you know, make sure you're being smart about the people that you're giving your money to when it comes to your merchandise production. You know, be very aware of your surroundings, because ultimately your surroundings will ultimately like portray who you are as a person. In your artistry, in your character, and things like that. Those things, you know, definitely influence you. So I think being aware of the moves that you're making, how you're investing in yourself, be smart about those things. Don't invest into other people like you wouldn't invest in yourself.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you're investing in everything you need to for yourself before you try and dive in on other projects, group projects, because ultimately, like, you need to have your foundation set up before you can help anybody else's. And I think that's one of the things I fucked up on early as an artist. I invested wholeheartedly into this team I was in, and I got kicked out for not knowing how to run business, and now I'm the only one still doing music out of that group. Like, you know, like, and I was the only woman in the group, you know, like, I was kicked out because I was the youngest, and like, I didn't know what I was doing, and yeah, maybe I didn't know what I was doing then, but now none of those fools know what they're doing, and like, ain't no, none of them like have had any of the opportunities that I've had.
Yeah.
You know, and so like, see through adversity. Like, people are gonna fuck with you, people are gonna pick on you, people are gonna make sure that they do everything they can to bring you lower, but like, just don't let it faze you. And that's something that I'm learning now. That's not something that I learned 2 years ago. Like, that's just something that I've had to learn, because like, everybody's got problems. Yeah. Everybody's got shit that they gotta deal with. If your artistry is something that you will kill for, die for, do anything for, then just, you know, fuck adversity. Yeah. Fuck what people got to say. Do what you have to do for yourself. Be smart about your investments and network and grow and think in terms of, you know, obviously work on your own and build for yourself, but also think in teams. Think of, you know, solid teams that were in which you can all help each other grow, help each other thrive. You know, that's important. You can't, but also, if you want to have a team that thrives, you got to make sure that you're thriving.
Yeah.
And you're setting the best intention for yourself as well.
Tell me a good thing and a positive and a negative thing that happened to you this week.
Positive thing.
Yeah.
The shows. I've been feeling really happy about the direction and the start of this tour that's coming up. My brother graduates high school tomorrow.
Oh, nice. I mean, but by the time this is released, he already has graduated.
I know. He'll listen to it. but something negative.
You don't have to go negative if you don't want to.
No, but I think it's like important to like recollect and think about the things that have happened this week. I think just allowing small things to get me upset, like really stupid small things to send me off and get me really fucking pissed. I just think that like, I don't know if it's just me as a person, but like sometimes like I just get mad about something and then like allow it to just completely like allow me to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually something really, really small and insignificant. So I gotta stop that.
I hate it
because it's exhausting. Getting mad is so exhausting, and getting angry is so exhausting. And it's an emotion that I really don't like to feel, because when I feel it, it drains me. It makes me like not even want to get up, or like, you know, just really, really brings me down, and it stresses me out, and it's just not something that I like to feel. That's a negative. But a positive is that there's so many dope things going on this week. Like, staying busy is, like, my favorite thing.
Well, I mean, hopefully when I release this episode, you listen to it and then you remind yourself, like...
I know. I'll be like, fuck!
You're not going through the same stuff, you know? Like,
I told myself to stop being an angry ass.
And I'm literally angry as I'm listening to this.
No, I hope not. No.
I hope not either.
I'm trying, man. It just becomes hard when you're a fucking artist. When you're an artist and there's so much shit going on in your artist life, and then your family's like mad because like you don't go to anything because all the family shit is on the weekends when you have shows, and like you're working at a shop where you could possibly like get raided or robbed at any moment. Mm-hmm. Fucking, you know, there's a lot of risks to the lifestyle I live. Like, just not only working at a dispensary, but as an artist, as an independent artist, you know, there's so many risks I'm taking, and there's so many people who just constantly like, you shouldn't do this, like you're doing the wrong thing, and it's like, man, fuck you. I've been on this path since I was 17 years old.
Mm.
Like, that's almost 10 years ago, you know? So it's like, how are you gonna tell me that I'm on the wrong path? Like, obviously if I was on the wrong path, I would have listened a long time ago and stopped doing it. But this is a driving force now. Like, it's like metal to metal, you know? So
all right, well, you know what? I think we got a great interview. So, but before we go, there's still two things
okay
I need from you. Okay, I need your plugs. like whatever you got going on. We already mentioned, but like go.
Like my plugs. I don't think I want to give out their information over the phone. Yeah,
like your plugs, and then why don't you give the people that are right here, give them a little plug, like tell them where.
So shout out to East of the River. Shout out to Eclectic. Shout out to Native Tongue Design and Native Taste Template. Shout out to ELAC, the Collective. Shout out to the Rich Minds Platform Collection. Viva La Bonita. Shout out to Val the Wonder. Shout out to Sister Irie, Pachamama, Familia. Shout out to Boyle Heights, East LA. And shout out to Let Me Know Podcast. Shout out to Old Ass Filthy. And shout out to everybody who's getting ready for us to be on the tour, man.
All right, well, tell us about the tour, like where they could find the tour.
Yes, please. So if you want to follow everything, follow EOTR Network to keep in, you know, contact about the show, all the shows. Follow EOTR Radio to have your stuff displayed on the radio. Only that good shit. Follow me, ZZAY92. Oh, and follow the Beat Sesh. Right. Shout out to the Beat Sesh. It's a vegan 420 friendly event that my man and I threw together, and we're about to have number 2 coming out in July. So follow the Beat Sesh if you are vegan and into weed.
All right. So, yeah. All right, but before we go, we still got one more thing to do, and that's a game called Sevens. So Sevens is basically like a word association game.
Okay.
Where you're gonna pick a category.
Okay.
And you have to like guess what's on my phone. So okay. I'm gonna give you clues.
Okay.
So you have 7 seconds to answer each question. So it's 7 questions. The faster you answer, the more points you get. So at the end of the year, I'm gonna give my guess. If I score, I'm gonna give him something. I'm gonna give him right now. I'm thinking of giving him a fat of myself. Give me the thumbs up. So I see a lot of like bare walls here, and I think I can maybe next to the guitar or something.
Okay.
Like inspiration to like to like, you know what, I was there, or inspiration as like I never want to go back. Whatever, it's up to you.
Okay.
All right. So the categories are general, movies, TV shows, celebrities, music, sports, Broadway, food, animals, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and the corresponding music, stand-up, superhero, movie action, movie comedy, movie rom-com, movie award winners, football, baseball, basketball, and hockey.
Okay, I'm definitely not doing any sports.
The score you got to beat is 32.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm not doing any sports. Let's do music.
All right, music. All right. 1, 2, 3. Britney Spears, this is her genre, like...
Pop?
What are those?
Monkey?
I don't know what this is.
Okay, pass?
No, you can't pass, so you have to wait for it. Sorry. Oh,
that's okay. That's a disservice. Just kidding.
He's like the greatest guitar player of all time.
King?
No, like...
Slash?
No, the other one. Okay, my bad. See, I'm not... Okay. I don't know too much about... NWA, what's their actual name?
Like An English with Attitude?
Yeah, sorry. She was a hometown girl.
Journey.
What are they? Damn, I don't even know the genre.
I ain't even gonna get those 32 points.
My bad. All right, so you got 15.
Okay.
All right, so it was Pop, the Monkees. So I gave you, and then Kenny Chesney.
Oh.
I don't know who that is. And then I think where I fucked up was Jimi Hendrix. And then, NWA, Journey, and the last one was Mumford and Sons. What's the category?
Indie folk?
Yeah, there you go.
Folk, right?
Yeah, so, okay. My bad.
It's all good.
at least you got the experience of playing the game, right? All right, guys, well, you know what? I'm not even giving you plugs. You guys probably heard it on the intro, so if you guys want to know where to find me, just go back to the intro. And I'll be there. But before I go, I just want to tell you guys that I'm very thankful for letting me be a part of your day. All right, guys. Till next time.
Peace. Bye.